Noah Adams left Kentucky years ago to work at NPR in Washington. But he keeps going back for a simple reason. He says other reporters aren't exactly clamoring to cover coal miner strikes and other issues that touch Appalachia. Noah has more selfish interests as well, starting with an insatiable hunger to learn more about the area where he grew up. You can see this curiosity in his latest book, Far Appalachia, which sorts out truth from legend in various stories about the region.
Let me start with Daniel Boone. I was surprised in my research to realize, and I probably could have figured this out, and you probably know it, is that he was literate, and he traveled. I have a scene in the book where he is up in the mountains. He was a hunter, loved to be away from his family. There's a story that says that he came back one time, and his wife was pregnant, and he'd been gone a year. And his wife said, "Well, it's your brother. It's your brother's child." And he said, "Well, the more the merrier." And I don't know if that story is true or not, but it is true.
Makes a nice story, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is true. He was literate. He carried Gulliver's Travels with him. And I have a scene in the book where he's way up in the mountains in the snow, and he's roasting a turkey over the fire, and he's got his dog and his horse, and he's reading by the firelight Gulliver's Travels, which, of course, is about this sort of strange travel situation where a fellow is in a country that he doesn't really understand. That's part of it. It's really amazing to try to put yourself back in that time and figure out who these people were and why they wanted to come. And when they got to North Carolina, preachers back east were saying, "Oh, my dear honeys, Kentucky is a heaven of a place." And the land was supposed to be yours for the asking if you got there first.
Yeah. Now, that's a perfect lead-in to one of the things that you talk about several times in the course of the book, and that's the story of Mary Ingalls, whose family went to Kentucky because the land was free, and you always wonder whether she wishes they'd stayed home.
Mary Draper Ingalls and her husband, William, were the first white couple to be married west of the Alleghenies, and she was kidnapped in a Shawnee raid near the site of what is now present-day Blacksburg, Virginia, and taken up into Ohio near Chillicothe and held hostage, and she managed to escape and then go back in the wintertime, back up the New River Gorge, icy rocks. I mean, it's really forbidding territory to try to travel. And to think that she made it back up what the Shawnee called the War Road in the wintertime, and she was with a woman called the Old Dutch Woman, and things were so desperate that near the end of that journey, the Old Dutch Woman hit her in the head, tried to kill her because she wanted to eat her. They were starving and they had no clothes. And she finally, Mary Draper Ingalls, finally climbs up into her neighbor's field, and her neighbor doesn't recognize her. She convinces the man of who she is and the fact that she has actually been to Ohio, which was the amazing thing.
Now, you talk about her adventure, and at another point, not too far distant from there, you talk about the other great outsider's view of Appalachia that people have from the movie Deliverance. And you went on with this journey of yours. Neither of those is a particularly encouraging story to listen to if you're thinking about going through an adventure like this, is it?
You know, the movie Deliverance did strange things. It set up sort of a dire and desperate view, strangely enough, of West Virginia, even though the book and the movie describe canoeing scenes in North Georgia. I guess because Georgia has Atlanta somehow, and West Virginia has Charleston, which is not as cosmopolitan, not as big. Somehow West Virginia gets hit pretty hard for the Deliverance image. And you can't get into a canoe on the river anymore these days without, you know, it could be a young person who wasn't even born when the movie came out who will start whistling the Dueling Banjos tune, which is actually a pretty good piece of music. But people were vastly affected by that. And the other thing that movie did, after Deliverance came out, a lot of guys just wanted to go out and bang up and down the rivers in canoes and drink. It was an adventurous thing. And that started, in a way, the whitewater rafting industry and a lot of the canoe business up and down the river, as did the Munich Olympics, 72, because we saw for the first time, and I didn't really recall this, whitewater events on television worldwide, whitewater canoeing and whitewater kayaking. And that started the legitimate side of the whitewater adventure sports.
We were talking about the music in Deliverance a little while ago and how it's a very good piece of music. It's actually based, I think, on an English folk tune, but it's a really nice piece of music. Music was one of the things that you found as you went along on this tour. Early on, you went to a town, I don't know how to say the name of the town, but it looks like Galax
Yeah, it's Galax.
Galax.
Galax in Virginia, and it's the site of the old Fiddler's Convention. And if you want a wonderful weekend, just go down there. I think it's coming up pretty soon. Old-time music and bluegrass, no country music. Well, country music now is simply a pale imitation of the songs that people brought over from Scotland and Ireland and England. And it's just an extraordinary thing. And all these songs scare you when you hear them. And in a way that country music will not. I mean, country music will at most amuse you, I guess, a bit sad. But this is where that music comes from. Songs like Rank Stranger, Everybody I Met Seemed to Be a Rank Stranger, No Mother or Dad, Not a Friend Did I See, I Knew Not Their Names, and I Never Could Find Them. I found they were all rank strangers to me. Songs by the Stanley Brothers and Bill Monroe, and you know, music can just take over your life and your soul. It is amazing. I've gone to old-time music festivals now and seen people play for hours as if they were in a trance. It's like the word rave, you know, we think of something new, but they were doing it back then. And it's all for the player. It's not for the person who would come to watch it. You don't get much from watching it, but you certainly understand what they get from playing it.
Well, a 9-pound hammer.
9-pound hammer.
A little too heavy.
A little too heavy.
For my size.
For my size.
For my size. Buddy.
Hold on, buddy.
Hunt your horse slow.
Hunt your horse slow.
Honey, how can a rope?
How can a rope?
When the wheels won't go.
All Things Considered host Noah Adams is the author of Far Appalachia,